Nej, men vad är det jag hör? Välkommen till ridklubben. Hej, Rebecka.
Hej, Gry. Det känns som att jag gör det för första gången igen.
Vi har fått DM till vårt Instagram-konto, ridklubben-podden, med folk som undrar, vad gör ni? När kommer det nya avsnitt? Va?
Ja.
Ja, det kan man fråga, men nu kommer det ett nytt avsnitt.
Nu kör vi. Ja, jag har haft lite sjuka barn.
Mm.
Hästarna har också tagit lite lugnt. Salsa fick ett sår på en kota som vägrar att läka.
Ja.
Så att hon har tagit lite piano. Och sen har jag också ett jättestort nytt projekt på gång. Som liksom har ätit upp all min tid.
Som du inte riktigt kan berätta om än, för allt är inte 100% klart. Det är det värsta man vet när folk säger, vad är roliga grejer på gång?
Jag
kan inte berätta något, men det är lite så nu.
Ja, det är, och jag hoppas verkligen att jag kan berätta allt i nästa avsnitt. Och då menar jag, då får vi ta ett avsnitt bara om det. För det är liksom, nej, jag hoppas att många kommer bli glada med mig.
Gud vad spännande.
Ja, men jättekul.
Men du sa Salsa, som då är stor häst, stor, jättehärlig och jättegullig. Hon fick som ett broddtramp, om man ska säga, på kotan, på framsidan på kotan.
Exakt, precis där tåsträckaren går liksom.
Och den, det är ju så svårt att läka det här, i och med att de böjer och vrider på den hela tiden.
Ja.
Skitstörigt. Och så blev hon lite varm, men det har gått ner jättebra. Hon har liksom, men det har läkt bra. Ja. Bara att det tar sån tid, det är så irriterande.
Ja, men jag vet. Och det har liksom varit ett sår hela tiden. Och så var hon ju rätt tjock och svullen och varm första dagarna. Men det gick ju ner som det ska, tycker jag. Men sen har det blivit, det är som en bulle vid det där såret. Och först var jag så orolig om det var en pinne eller någonting där i. Men hon har liksom aldrig haft temp. Hon är inte varm. Hon är inte, alltså det är inga andra symptom mer än att hon har ett litet sår.
Mm.
Så då tänkte jag att det inte borde vara något sånt. Och nu tror jag att det är typ en kapsel där i. Men jag tänker att vi börjar rida igång henne lite mera. Och nästa gång veterinären kommer så kanske man bara ultraljudar lite för att se så att det inte trycker på någonting. För det känns onödigt också att inte veterinären bara, de kommer förmodligen säga att det inte är någonting när hon inte är halt och inte har feber och inte är varm och liksom så.
Jag red ut på henne en sväng igår, hon var pigg.
Hon var så trött när jag red i förrgår.
Hon var pigg, och på hemvägen tyckte hon att det var piggt. Vi tog det jättelugnt, i och med att det är lite slaskigt och lite juxigt så där, så att hon fick trava och galoppera lite sen i ridhuset, men hon tyckte det var piggt.
Ja, hon vill börja jobba nu.
Ja, verkligen. Och Milan, fina Milan, Nickis D-pony. Älskar honom, han är så himla snäll och fin, den där hästen. Han kom in här i Nicky skulle åka helgen som kommer nu när vi springer det här. Vi skulle åka och tävla till B+. Och hon tränade, för Sylve var här och hade kurs i 2 dagar. Sylve Söderstrand som vi har poddat med tidigare. Han var här och hade kurs för några veckor sedan.
Ja.
Och Nicky red båda dagarna. Och peppa, peppa, det gick så jäkla bra.
Ja.
Det var så roligt. Det var så kul att se dem. Och det var så roligt att ha. Det var jättekul. Och så är man att Nicky rider för Sylve i somras. Men de var inte sen dess nu då.
Nej.
Så han sa också vilken utveckling. Och det är så kul, även det är så sjukt att det kan vara så kul att stå på sidan. Och tycka att det är lika kul. Det är som att göra det själv. Alltså, det är så kul.
Det är kul att ge dig lika mycket som Nicky.
Ja,
alltså.
Det är helt knäppt.
Ja.
Men då hade vi laddat för den här tävlingen nu i helgen. Men då kom Milan in i lördags och hade... Och Nicky bara, mamma, han är svullen. Han har fått svullna bakben. Inte jättemycket, men lite.
Ja.
Och så lite för höjd temp, men inte feber, men bara lite.
Ja.
Och jag tror att det är, vi började ge honom lite lucern.
Ja.
För att få en lite mer protein. Antingen så är det det, eller så har han grävt fram någon rot i hagen.
Ja.
För det är bara töa, nu är det lerigt att han har käkat något. Vi vet, han har ingen sår, ingen mugg, ingenting.
Nej.
Så ringde jag till dem vi köpte honom av för att fråga om han hade haft något. Du vet om du säger, jo men alltid lite på vår. Men jag sa, det har aldrig varit någonting med honom.
Nej.
Gud, peppar, peppar, måste jag säga. Så att, men nu hade det, igår hade det gått ner jättebra.
Gud vad härligt.
Det har gått med honom. Och då har det ju gått ner när vi har promenerat med honom.
Ja.
Och så där, så att, och så spolar kallt och tagit det lugnt. Men det är störigt. Så får man säga, nej det blev det inte. Det är så irriterande när man gör planer och tänker, blir perfekt. Då har vi den där tävlingen den helgen.
Ja.
Så tar vi det lugnt den helgen och så åker vi dit där. Och så kan man, vet man, har en lite längre plan.
Ja.
Så blir det inte så.
Det är så, man får passa på att rida när man kan rida. För sen tar de ofrivillig vila lite när det passar dem.
Ja.
Nej, men så blir det ju ibland liksom.
Ja.
Med allt, eller så.
Så ja, är det faktiskt.
Deras hälsa är ändå viktigast.
Och det vi har tränat jättemycket på med honom, han är lite öronskygg.
Ja.
Man får inte gärna pilla honom runt öronen och inte bakom och nära öronen. Han tycker det är jätteirriterande. Men då har vi upptäckt att han är mer stressad över när han sitter fast. Om man har grimma på sig och sitter fast i kedja, då gillar han inte det alls.
Nej.
Känns som att det är någonting långt bak i tiden som har hänt någon gång. Men när han lös så är det lite lättare. Men Nicky har tränat och tränat och tränat. Det här är någonting som vi pratar om lite grann med gästen i dagens program som heter John Ricketts.
Ja.
För han, vi pratar om alltså att han kan hjälpa till med massa problemlösningar. Jag har inte sett honom in action, jag vill det verkligen. Men så som han pratar om, så han kan hjälpa till med hästar som inte går att lasta, eller hästar som inte kan ta på öronen, eller vad det nu kan vara, eller hur?
Ja, exakt. Eller om hästarna är typ rädda för paraply, eller pressändningar, eller vattenmatter. Eller. Så han jobbar ju mycket med sånt, att få hästarna trygga. Det känns som att han också gör det med så här kärlek till djuret. Att han lite så här kan prata med hästarna, typ.
Han känns som den närmaste hästviskare jag har kommit.
Ja, jag håller verkligen med dig. Jag hoppas också att vi kan gå och titta. Han har ju en kurs här snart i Stockholm.
Ja.
Så jag hoppas att vi kan gå dit och titta. Det hade varit jättekul.
Det vill jag göra. Han är ju, som man har på namnet, inte född i Sverige. John Ricketts.
Nej.
Men så vi ställer frågor på svenska och han svarar på engelska.
Exakt. Och det var så han ville ha det. Ibland kan jag tycka att det känns lite så dumt att man pratar svenska med någon som svarar på engelska. Eller du vet, jag tycker att det blir så svårt. Det känns lite oförskämt nästan. Men han sa att nej, ställ gärna frågorna på svenska nu, men det är lättare för mig att...
Du vill hellre briljera med din flytande engelska.
Jag är så dålig för det, så jag är så glad.
Så kul.
Det var också lite det jag frågade innan. Jag bara, okej, så kan vi ta det här på svenska? Eller han bara, jag pratar inte svenska, men du får gärna göra det. Jag bara, okej, då ska jag också förstå vad han säger.
Om du blir nyfiken efter att ha hört det, då kan man gå in på Instagram. John Ricketts understreck Horse Development heter han på Instagram.
Ja.
Kan man kolla lite. Han jobbar med Felicia Grimmenhag bland annat, som vi har träffat också i podden tidigare, och massa andra duktiga ryttare som han har hjälpt då.
Ja, exakt.
Så att här så ni får höra nu hur det lät när vi träffade. Skittrevlig minns jag honom som.
Verkligen, toppen. Ja,
perfekt. Vi har slagit oss ner med ingen mindre än John Ricketts. Välkommen till ridklubben.
Thank you very much.
Hur är läget?
Very good, thank you. Very good.
Bra. Var i England är du från?
From a place called Leicester.
So det som stavas så konstigt, Leicester.
Leicester, yes. We speak, so it's in the middle of the middle.
Ja, yeah. Ett bra fotbollslag.
Ja, yeah, a couple of years ago we were pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. Men du har bott i Sverige i 30 år?
Ja. Oh.
Och så vi pratar svenska och du svarar på engelska?
Yep.
Varför vill du inte prata svenska?
Ooh, I knew you were going to ask me this one. When I first came to Sweden, I was trying to speak Swedish, and everybody wanted to speak English. Mm-hmm. And then I've had a lot of English friends that they've met a Swedish girl, and they've had children, and they speak Swedish, but it's Swenglish. And now when I talk to them, they can't speak English and they can't speak Swedish. So I just right from the get go I thought it's much better, and then people think it's pretty cool to speak English. Mm. So yeah.
Det var jättebra. Svenska så förtjust, jag visar sig duktig på engelska.
Ja. Inte jag. Alla andra.
Yeah, I mean, you guys understand a lot more.
Yeah.
Everybody says that in the beginning, but it's yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Men då det kommer gå bra. Du får säga till om det är något, om vi sluddrar eller är otydliga eller något.
Ja, yeah, no problem.
Tror du att vi som har hästar generellt jobbar för lite med dem mentalt? Alltså att man stimulerar dem för lite mentalt?
Yeah, I come from a different angle because I never think the problem is the horse. I always think the problem is us. So I think us as horse people that we spend too little time training ourselves. And we're too worried about training the horse. And what I mean by that is that every customer I go to, I ask these questions. So the first question is, what are your basic rules with the horse? What are your goals? And they're short-term, medium-term, long-term goals. How would you like it to look and feel? And which training system are you going to use? And do you understand how the training system works? So the first one is what rules is. Rules are not to dominate because you guys have rules in every relationship you have. So we have rules in this relationship. You have rules with an intimate relationship when you go to work in society.
Förhållningsregler.
Yeah, yeah.
Inte straff.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So förutsättningar och förhållningsregler.
Yeah. So it's the same thing with a horse because, you know, when you have a 400-500 kilo and it's a completely different animal to the human, then maybe we've got to have a little structure so we don't have so much chaos. Because, you know, like I say to people, that I've done this for a long time and I found out really quick that the horse is always going to be faster than me. The horse is stronger than me. And the horse's body is very hard and my body is very delicate. So the rules are for safety. Because number one priority is always my safety, my horse's safety. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the next thing, the goals. So the goals are so you know what you need to teach your horse. So that's why they can be short term, medium term, long term, because obviously the long term ones are more complex. The short term, you know, maybe I would like to teach my horse to walk over a bridge, mm-hmm. a wooden bridge. Yeah. So what do I need to be able to get him to understand that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say, how am I going to teach him? What are my cues going to be? And what training system am I going to use? Because there are only two training systems to train any animal. And one is called negative reinforcement, and one is called positive reinforcement. So do you guys know what that is?
Positiv förstärkning och negativ.
Ja.
Att antingen lockar den och så, vad heter det? Belönar den när den gör någonting positivt och uppmuntrar den när den gör någonting bra, alltså när den gör någonting när man gör framsteg.
Okay. Eller? Negative reinforcement.
Om tvingar den, eller?
Ja. Nej.
Okay.
And this is the biggest problem I have, because probably 90% of people in Sweden we train the horse with negative reinforcement. The trouble is 89% don't know how the system works.
Berätta.
So, really bad names, because negative and positive is just a way to describe a training system, so it comes from the maths. So negative means take away, positive means add.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So negative reinforcement. I apply a pressure, and the pressure can be my body pressure,
yeah.
my voice pressure, that's why you...
Yeah.
Or my equipment pressure, mm. you know, the reins or the bit, or if I use
jag
a stick...
Yeah.
So then the way that the system works is the first thing you teach the horse is what we call concept learning. So concept learning is that obviously when I ask the horse a question, he has no clue what the answer is. So he's going to give me a lot of different answers. And when he gives me the correct answer, then I remove the pressure. So this is concept learning.
Så jag skänklar på och hästen vet inte vad han ska göra.
Yeah.
Och så till sist går den framåt och då
yeah.
slutar skänkla på.
Then you release, yeah.
Jag tar
yeah.
bort.
Exactly.
Jag tar bort hjälpen
exactly.
när
yeah.
är rätt.
Yeah. yeah. So that's called concept learning. And then there's different stages depending on what you want to teach the horse. So, you know, for instance, if I'm going to teach the horse to step to the left, I can apply a pressure, and the pressure can be my leg, the pressure can be a tap with a stick, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, yeah, I could swing a big banana next to him. He don't care, you know what I mean? Yeah. So maybe he's going to try to go forwards, and he's trying to go backwards, and maybe he's going to try to go right, and as soon as he even thinks about going left, I remove. So when I repeat that over and over and over with the same cue, then he understands the cue means to go left. And then I say, can you go left and keep going before I say thank you? Then the next stage is, can you go left? Can you keep going? And now can you speed up? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're all the different things. So I describe it like this to people that say we have a scale of 1 to 10 in the amount of pressure, 1 being my absolute minimum, 10 being the absolute max. If I ever get to 10 and the horse is not trying to do what I want, then basically what I have done, I have flooded him and shut him down. So I never want to get to the 10. This is why, you know, when you see horses stand outside trailers and it doesn't matter whatever you do and you can hit them with a truck and they're not moving. Yeah, when they're completely, it doesn't matter whatever happens. A lot of driving horses, you
it's
know, when
they...
Yeah, because we come to the point that we've used so much pressure and we haven't got the horse to try, yeah. then it's over. Does that make sense?
Den är stor och stark och jag kommer inte vinna.
Well, this is the deal that if you think about it, if the horse listens and tries, we both win.
Yeah.
If I apply too much pressure and my horse checks out on me, we're both lost.
Yeah.
You know, because when people go to me, I beat my horse, I said, no, you both lost. Oh, my horse beat me, no, you both lost. Because any time in a relationship that is one's going to win and one's going to lose, it's a crap relationship to start with. you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So we have the rules and then we have the goals. And then the next bit is, how should it look and how should it feel? And the reason why this is so important, and I get people to do it, because you see a lot of people do a lot of stuff for horses, but it looks really crap and it feels really crap. And when you put crap under pressure, it gets crappier. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then, you know, what I try to explain to people is that, you know, say we've got a scale of 1 to 5, and one being that, you know, my horse does what I want, but it's really bad, and one being it's super. Then what happens is that if I'm training away with my horse and we're doing the same thing, and in a month's time we're still on a 5, I'm probably doing a crap job.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spend 6 months training crap.
No.
So it gives me a little bit of a, yeah, it's more for the people. Because obviously that if I go to the horse, you know what, this is good enough. The horse goes, yeah, it's cool, John. Because I don't want to be a number one.
No.
I'm not bothered about winning competitions. You know, I don't have my own Facebook or Instagram account, and I got no sponsors. And all I want to do is I want to survive the experience, and I want to be as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So now we have a bit of a base, because we have some basic rules for safety for me and a horse. So then we don't have a lot of all this misunderstanding all the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then we have a rough idea what we want. And then we have a rough idea that how it should look and how it should feel. And then we have an understanding of which system we're going to use, or we can use both systems. So then positive reinforcement. I wait until the horse does something that I want, and I add something, usually food. And the reason why they use the clicker, because what the scientists say, we have a 3 to 4 second window for the horse to connect up. So when we use negative reinforcement, when I take away the pressure, I can get in that window. But when I'm using positive reinforcement, a lot of the time I'm not that close to the horse.
No.
So the click becomes the bridge for the horse to understand that that was a behavior that I wanted.
Yeah. För då gör man så, då lägger man inte på någon, vad heter det, pressure överhuvudtaget. Alltså,
Jag bara säger att det är klart för mig.
För du säger att om man då tar det enklaste, säger, jag lägger på skänken, hästen går, jag tar bort skänken.
Yeah.
Det är det negativa reinforcement. Men däremot, det andra är att inte göra någonting.
Yeah.
Och sen så går hästen, då säger bra, ger den en godis och klickar man klickar samtidigt.
Ja, och någonting, maybe I can have a stick. You know, they call him a target in the beginning. So in the beginning, when you train positive reinforcement, basically you just train the click first. So the horse understands the click.
Och fattar att click är positivt.
Well basically what happens in the beginning is that I can stand there and I click, feed the horse. And then I only feed the horse when he looks away. So when he looks away, I click and feed. Because I want the horse not to come and mug me. I want the horse to wait that I bring the food
så
to him.
Because
that's why a lot of people get in trouble when the horse gets really aggressive. And does that make sense? So I use a word. So I don't use a clicker. I go, because that's something I can use. So then I can use that. And also I can do that, and I can do scratches as well. Does that make sense? So you know, there's a lot of different things that we can do, because every time I touch my horse, I would like it to be. So every time I touch my horse, I'm always waiting for relaxation before I stop whatever I do.
Okay.
Because in the end, as soon as I, you know, it's like a trigger. As soon as I go, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Vi har en ponny från Irland
som
är världens snällaste. Han är helt cool, han är inte rädd för något, han är superlugn. Men han är rädd om sina öron. Man får inte ta honom på öronen, vilket jag har förstått är vanligt för irländska hästar. Hur kan jag göra om jag vill ta honom på öronen?
Well, basically, it's the same thing there. That then what they learn...
Jag försöker, klappar, jag försöker ta det lugnt. Och jag klappar honom på ganachen. Så tänker jag kommer lite när... För när jag tränsar honom, det är inget problem. Och då brukar jag försöka passa på när jag ändå har handen där. Och han, för det tillåter han utan problem. Då brukar jag försöka klappa där för att känna... Jag vill att han ska veta att jag kommer aldrig göra det i hans öron. Men det är jag helt övertygad om att gjorde inte hans förägare heller. De har haft honom i 5 år. Så det här är något som kommer från länge sedan. För det är tråkigt att han har så här små hårtofsar i öronen som växer ut, och så kommer lite skit i dem och jag kan inte ta bort det. Så sist fick jag göra det hos tandläkaren när han var sederad. Då hade jag med saxen, så då bara klick, 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 klick. Men jag skulle vilja kunna svätta öronen. Jag skulle också bara vilja att han inte är rädd för mina händer på öronen.
So basically, if you think about it, is that, you know, most of these horses, they either learn that when you go to touch the head or the ears, they either learn they throw the head away, mm. or they throw the head towards you, mm. or they put the head up.
I was going to say up or bottom.
Yeah, yeah. So then basically what I would do, I could have like a little piece of like foam.
You know,
and then I'm going to start by stroking him here, and I'm going to go more up, and then obviously when he goes up there, I can just do this, and then even if he just stops and accepts it for a second, then I release it, and I keep doing it until one, he realizes that nothing bad's going to happen.
Skum pinne man har i poolen som barnen lär sig simma med.
Or what you put around pipes, or because then if he throws his head around, you know, it's not going to hurt him if he touches it with his head or whatever. And basically, this is a deal with a horse, because in the beginning, what happens is that he had a fear reaction, and he's gone, oh my god, I'm going to die. And then when people try to keep repeating it, and they have to stop when the horse is doing that behavior, we increase it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Han sätter upp huvudet och då slutar man.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Because either he throws his head towards you, so we stop because he's going to knock us out.
För jag vill inte heller att han ska bli stressad, så man slutar ju då.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the deal, if you think about it, is it stress, or is it teaching him to have a better life? Because this is the deal. If you never ever want to touch his ears, and you never want to clean his ears, and you never want to do anything, then it's okay too.
So
then basically what happens through repetition, every time when I go that and he puts his head up, and as soon as he stops and keeps his head straight, then I release, and then what will happen, he will bring it down and down and down, and then I can start to replace this with my hand. And then I can also teach him a cue to put his head down. So all of a sudden, then what's going to happen is we're going to turn this negative into a positive, because in the end, he's going to love it when I stroke him and touch him. And does that make sense? Because he doesn't know that this is going to be a really nice experience for him.
Är det här någonting jag kan lära honom, eller måste jag ta hjälp av en sån
som? Well, I mean, obviously, it's at the moment, it'd be like the blind leading the blind.
Tack.
No disrespect.
Nej.
You understand what I mean, because obviously that if you knew, you could mm-hmm. do it. So, you know, my job when I go and help people, my job is that I take the big bit from the horse and I give the horse a concept, and then it enables the person to start to carry on because at least one in the relationship has a clue what's going on. You know, that's why people go over the edge. You know, that's why people, you know, the horse runs over them, and, you know, all the different problems that we have. Yeah. It's basically the same thing. The human, the horse, have gone in a situation and something's happened, and the horse goes, I don't know how to handle this, so I'm a horse. So my first instinct is to Scooby-Doo. And if I can't run away, I'm going to fight. And if I can't run and fight, I usually shut down. Does that make sense? Mm. Yeah, and that's why people get booked off, and the horse rears up and runs over you. And you know, one of the main things with horses that people get hurt with is just leading the horse to the paddock and back, because that's one thing we can't avoid unless we build a fence outside the door and let him run loose. You know, because when you go there at night, and you know, your friend has took the horse out the paddock, and your horse is all upset, and it's raining and it's dark. And you go and grab your horse, you have to grab the horse. So, you know, and then he has a reason, because he's like, oh my God, I'm by myself, I need to get back to the stable. Yeah. Or they've been programmed that as soon as you take them out in the paddock, you take them back and feed them straight away. And it's the same thing when they go out. You know, so a lot of people get run over and going through the gateway. And yeah. So, I mean, I do everything really systematically. So I have rules when I lead the horse. I have cues to walk, I have cues to stop, I have cues to go backwards and left and right, because that's my language. And then when I take him in the paddock, I always turn him around and he has to wait, and then he drops his head, and then I take the halter and I take two steps back and walk away. So the reason why I do that is because I see so many people, they put the horse in the paddock, the horse goes in head first, they take the halter off, and then one day the horse kicks back because of fly or whatever, yeah. And you just happen to be in a really bad place, and he didn't mean it. And maybe your horse is never going to do it, but you know, I've met a lot of people who go, yeah, my horse would never kick me, and then I meet them six months later and they tell me, I know what you're talking about now, John, because my horse didn't kick me, but my friend's horse, I put that in the paddock as a favor.
Yeah,
you understand what I mean? Yeah. So that's a deal a little bit. Because if you think about it logically, this is a deal. I always say, you guys are the teacher, the horse is a student. The reason why we're the teacher isn't because we're superior or better than the horse, it's because we're the only one in the relationship who wants to do all of this crazy stuff. Because your horse knows how to be a horse really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if we took away all the fences, they'd just travel and band up like they do in the wild, and they reproduce, and if they get injured, they get left and die, and then the predators will take them. And yeah, that's, you know, if they get a really bad sore and get infection, that's it. You know, there's no 6 months rehab and blah 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 when they're running wild. So this is the deal. So my job, really, my responsibility is that I would like to prepare my horse to be able to handle my world.
Yeah.
So then in the end, at least 98% of the time, my horse is in a really good emotional state and I can do a lot of stuff and be safe, and my horse is safe. Then the other 2%, if my horse's world gets rocked, he's only rocked for this long and he can self-regulate himself back.
Yeah.
That's my job, yeah. And heaven forbid, you know, if I fall over tomorrow and somebody has to take my horse, I would like my horse to be the best horse that they've ever had, and I would like my horse to be able to tolerate anything because he's so good, and he's still going to have a good life because I've taught him how to handle situations.
För det jag var inne på när jag började fråga dig om du tror att vi generellt sett stimulerar våra hästar för lite mentalt. Yeah. För jag tittade på ditt Instagramkonto så ser man ju hur du har hängt plastband från taket som hästarna får gå igenom som ett draperi.
Yeah.
Rida med paraply.
Yeah. Rida med paraply, lägga en pressändning över dem och longera dem lite grann för att förbereda dem.
Yeah.
Och det är sådana saker som vi inte gör till vardags för att man tycker sig inte behöva, eller man har ingen problem med häst eller vad det kan vara. Men att stå i hage och stå i box och så rider man en timme, det kanske är för lite för dem. Alltså inte fysiskt, men jag tänker psykiskt, att man inte utmanar dem. Man kanske borde göra mer. Det finns, de är ju så jäkla duktiga, kan ju så mycket, de kan ju lära sig så mycket coola grejer.
Absolutely. Well, it comes back to the human. Because, you know, when I ask people what the rules are, they, and then when I go, what are your goals? And they're, and then I say, what system are you using? So obviously, when
inte det för att man inte är så bra på att sätta ord på vad det är man gör.
Yeah,
man har massa regler och system, but man inte vet hur man formulerar, eller?
Yeah, I mean, we're not really taught. You know, I'm the guy that goes there when the building is burning. That's what I'm known for. So over the 30 years, I've worked with the most extreme horses, and extreme horses are not bad horses. They're just horses that when they do something, they do it so big and for so long. And a lot of them horses are already extreme when they're born, and it's easy to send them down the wrong road because.
Sorry? Vad får du för hästar? Vad har de för problem? Vad gör de?
You name it. Every single thing. Obviously a lot of trailers and lorries. Because obviously that's a big deal, because if you can't get the horse in the trailer, you can't go training, you can't go competitions, and you can't even sell it.
Nej.
You know what I mean?
Man kan åka till veterinären. Alltså bara så om du är kylad så vill man ju kunna åka till veterinären.
Liksom. Yeah, and it's always the same thing. The problem's not the trailer.
No.
The same thing as the problem is not the riding, the problem is not the clipping, the problem is not the ears.
Nej. Men det är också, det är ändå fascinerande att de går in i den där lådan. Alltså man kan ju tycka att det borde vara mot deras natur.
Well,
att de
ska against, gå in och... Yeah, against everything, yeah.
Yeah.
So I always explain it this way, especially with the trailer. You know, it's either heaven or hell. So, you know, heaven for a horse is being in a situation that he totally understands, totally accepts, doesn't have to work and can get fat.
Okay.
Hello. Uh-huh. That's heaven for a horse. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's why they stand around most of the day. You know, they don't go around practicing dressage moves all day or jumping up and down in the field because they're going to go jumping on Saturday. Or, yeah. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So hell for a horse. Put him in a situation that he has no idea how to handle, and he can't escape, and it makes loads of noise and vibrations and things touch him, and you separate him from the flock, then that's why they jump over the beam. I've had horses that have kicked the back of the ramp off, that broke the ramp.
Oh my.
I had one horse that kicked the back of the ramp off going down the motorway, broke the beam on the back and fell out when she was still driving on the motorway.
Oh, alltså den sparkade sig ut.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. On the motorway. Yeah.
Oh, vilken mardröm. Det där är mitt värsta.
Ja, det
är
det. Yeah. Det hände alltså.
Yeah, I've had quite a few horses that lay down.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit like a neurological, they lean against the side and then they basically just like faint. So it's like a neurological, and they just go down and down and down and down and down. Yeah. So to be honest, they nearly the hardest ones to help. Because like with the other ones, as soon as I take all the fear and I change the behaviors, then they think
the train. De som stänger av är svårast, liksom. De som är vilda och far runt.
The ones that when they lean, they basically pass out. Yeah. So they were the hardest because after I took all the fear away.
De tänker typ att de ska dö, eller?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a neurological thing, to be honest. It's like when they go against the pressure, then they just, you know, you see a lot of horses do that, you know, when they...
De får narkolepsi, typ.
Yeah, but if, you know, like you've seen a lot of horses that you tie up and when they pull back, and they can just pull back and pull back and they're just leaning on it. And then you see the eyes start to go and they just like, it's a little bit like that.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. So with them type of horses, you know, the first one I had, I had to sort of work out, because we put him in the trailer and we started to drive him, and then because in the beginning, like, we've gone to riding arena, and then we just start to move it like this a little bit. Yeah, and then he leant, and then he started to do that. So then basically with them type of horses, you know, what...
Stod du vid transporten då?
Well, with that type of horse, I had no choice, but I've done so much work that I have, you know, I'm not worried about being in there because, you know, I've done all the basic foundation work. So then basically all I did is, you know, I let him go and I let him fall asleep and I go, one, two, wakey, wakey, wakey. So I do that repetition after a few times, and then what he started to do, he started to unwake himself up. So I basically just put a different program in him. And then after that, they were fine again.
Fascinerande.
Yeah.
Har du mycket hästar med ridproblem?
Yeah.
Om man har varit och kollat en häst hos veterinären, till exempel, och
I mean, yeah. So obviously, the first thing I always say is, have you checked the horse out? And then I have a really good, you know, if they go to the vet and they don't find anything, then I have a really good chiropractor. And then I say, make sure that you get a really good dentist. And then I go there, and then I go from the beginning, and I go through and check the horse out. But it's, you know, it's, how can I say that? Even if the horse has physical problems, yeah, you know what I mean. Unless it's some sort of trapped nerve, you know, that suddenly I've had. That, you know, the question that people normally ask me is, have I failed with many horses? And the question is, maybe 6 or 7 horses over the last 30 years that after I'd gone through the whole base, they didn't behave normally. The real question should be, have I failed with many people? And I've failed with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, you know, there can be like a neurological problem that we don't see, or it can be a brain tumor, or, you know. And what I mean is, this is the deal, that if I don't have a normal, then it's very difficult to tell when it's an abnormal behavior. So if my horse does this with a bit all the time, and my horse is tense and stressed all the time, then it's hard for me to see if he has a problem or not. But if I've trained him to walk calmly and suddenly he starts to behave differently, or I've trained him to understand the bit and suddenly he's hanging on the bit, or he's moving his mouth more than normal, then that's a red flag for me straight away. Hey, oh, thanks for telling me. Let's check this out. But if my horse is doing this stuff all the time, it's very difficult. Or my horse is running sideways or backwards down a ditch every day of the week. It's hard to tell. But if he starts to do abnormal things after I've done the basic thing. So, you know, it's more like, you know, if you think, you know, if I educated my children or educated my dog and then suddenly their behavior gets way out of range, that's a really red flag. But if my kid's going around throwing bricks through windows all day long, that's his normal. And, if you know, maybe he throws a bigger brick. But, hey, he throws bricks anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So this is the whole idea. So the hardest bit for me is I always say to people, like, this is the deal. When we change, the horse will change. Because when we do a different way of thinking, we have a different behavior. We have better teaching skills. We're more aware of when we mess up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then he will get better. Yeah. If I go there with the attitude, let's see if she's in a better mood today, or let's see what happens, then I'm going with absolutely no thinking.
Yeah.
And it's the same, you know, it's if I go to a guy who's really successful and I say, hey, how did you get successful? He'd be able to tell me every single step. He didn't say, oh, well, you know, it just sort of happened to fall over this pile of money in a wheelbarrow and it was all cool. I mean, obviously, you know, you have a small percentage that just get lucky, but most of the people, they'll be able to tell you. And then what happens is that even if they lose their fortune, they're not worried because they know how to make it back again. So it's the same thing. You know, once you understand the basics with the horse, it doesn't really matter which horse, because you have a way of communicating. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you know, that's the whole deal. So for me, the hardest bit is to get people to think.
Och hur jobbar du då? Kommer du ut till folk eller kommer man till dig med sin häst?
No, I go to people. Yeah, I go to people.
Du åker hem.
Yep,
du
yep.
Gör hembesök.
And then usually the first lesson is like 2.5 to 3 hours. And that's mostly because I just do so much talking. I mean, the horse physically doesn't really do a lot, but I just, bah, 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 bah. Yeah, I talk and talk and talk and talk. And then I say, hey, look at this and look at this and look at this. And hopefully they will see all the connections here, that all the problems they have here. Because, you know, if you think about it, is that if I have a solution, it's not a problem. It's only a problem when I don't have a solution.
No.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So if my horse reacts, and I have a solution, it's called a training opportunity. If my horse reacts and I lose control, it's called a problem. Does that make sense?
Ja, har man inte, alltså det är inte ett problem så länge tills man inte känner att man inte klarar av det längre.
Yeah, exactly. When alltså, when you get out of control, yeah.
Exakt.
Jag hade en träningstillfälle, för man ser det positivt.
Exakt. Yeah. Men alltså, jag hade en häst som det inte gick att rida ut på själv först. Ja. Han stod på bakbenen på stallplanen och vägrade att lämna stallet. Då tyckte jag att det var svårt och omöjligt och jag visste inte hur jag skulle lösa det här för att jag var rädd att han skulle ramla över mig. Liksom.
Yep.
Jag satt nog kanske 3 timmar på stallplan och jag gjorde inte ens någonting. Jag bara satt på hans rygg, men han visste ju att vi skulle ut själv och det var han inte så sugen på. Så det slutade ju med att jag satte av, jag gick med honom 10 meter, hittade en sten, satte upp, fortsatte, han stannade, jag hoppade av, gick 10 meter. Och så höll jag kanske på i 3 månader tills det äntligen gick att rida ut själv.
Ja.
Nu, om jag stöter på en häst idag som gör samma sak, då känner jag mig rätt trygg. För att jag vet att jag kommer kunna lösa det här antingen gåendes eller sittandes på.
Okay.
Men ibland stöter man ju på problem som man inte har stött på förut. Och då vet man inte hur man ska göra. Och jag kan tänka mig att det är då man blir osäker och hamnar i en strid med hästen. Typ.
Yeah, because it's all the same really, is that everything is the same thinking.
Ja.
So you know, people always say to me, oh yeah, what's next? Well, if you understood the first bit, you got everything.
Jag tror inte också att man är stressad. Folk har ju så bråttom idag. Man har inte tid att vänta i 3 timmar på stallplan på att hästen ska gå. Eller?
But we take it the wrong way around.
Ja, vi försöker gena liksom.
But you know, this is the deal. The first thing I teach the horse is my cue to back up. The reason why I teach him the cue to back up, because the most important thing is that if he misunderstands me, I would like him to go away from me, not over me.
Nej, eller stanna i alla fall.
But go away from me. That's it. Yeah. So the first thing I teach him is my cue to back up.
Backa bort från mig.
Yep. Okay. And I can have 2 or 3 or 4 different cues to back up. And then I teach him, go left shoulder, go right shoulder, and then I teach him, this is my cue for the hip, left and right. Does that make sense?
Vadå höften?
Rumpa, alltså svänga ut rumpan.
Yep. Typ. Okay, so I teach him shoulder, hip.
Yeah.
Because then basically what happens is that if he comes forwards, I can get him to go away. Or I can get him to go sideways around me. Because then what I say to him, I understand you're a horse, and I understand that if you get scared, if you need to move, it's cool. But you move around me, not over me. Then when he's moving sideways, when his legs are crossed, it takes away the power. Because when he's straight and he has two back legs on the ground, that's like you were talking about with the horse rearing up.
Power.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's like one of the most scary things ever is when a horse rears up when you're on. Because even if it's one of them horses that rear up and they're really solid, they can always fall. And I've seen so many people, especially, you know, like I started in the racing world. So I've seen so many horses flip over on people and stuff. And it's one of my, you know, I will never, ever get up on a horse that rears up on the ground. Because he will always rear up when I ride him. So when people go to me, how do we get the horse not to rear up when we ride him? I go through the basics on the ground and then he never rears up again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Det låter så enkelt.
Well, basically, I teach the horse, this is the deal. Backwards, forwards, left, right, shoulder, hip, walk, trot, canter. Canter, trot, walk. Yep. And then shoulder, hip together. And then the only other two ways he can go is either up or down. So, you know, that's what you keep for the tricks. So in the beginning, what will happen is that when I'm working a young horse and I ask him to do something, he rears up. He can rear up and then he's going to come down and I'm just going to go, that's cool, but just say, I want you to go left. Hey, I want you to go left. I don't care if you rear up 25 times. Yeah. So after a while, he goes, holy Jesus, this rearing up stuff is really hard work. Maybe I just try to go left. And I go, hey, that's pretty cool. Thanks for that. So that's how you get the behavior, because either he's doing it because he's afraid. And that's why a lot of horses, when you ride them towards scary things, they go up. Yep. Also, a lot of these horses that rear up, when you ask them to back, they'll be very stiff in the body because that's why they rear up
as
well.
Yeah. Liksom.
Yeah, because obviously the better the backup gets, the more I can unlock his shoulders. So, and then the more I move around him in front and he don't die, the braver he gets. That's why we use the presenning and the umbrella, and because we're just showing, hey, whatever happens. So then there's different ways, depending on the horse in the beginning, that is that I can let the horse follow me with the things that move or make a noise. Because in the horse's nature, what happens is that when he follows something, all of a sudden he becomes more curious, dominant. Because the predator never goes away. The predator doesn't go and then run away and come back and you know, do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why, you know, the old cowboys or the horsemen in America, you know, they call that, you know, approach and retreat. You know, when you're trying to catch a horse who's scared, you approach the limit where he's just going to leave and then you retreat. And then you can get a little closer and a little closer, because for the horse, it's like if you walk straight towards him, you're doing predator behavior. Does that make sense? So then obviously what we need to do, we need to get the horse to understand that he can still listen to us even if scary things go towards him or we are going towards scary things.
Men det där är också intressant. Jag har en ettåring. När han var föl var han väldigt rädd för människor. Försökte jag gå in till honom i boxen, då ställde han sig i hörnet med rumpan emot mig. Jag fick inte komma nära. Det gick liksom inte att locka med morötter. Han var inte alls intresserad av människor överhuvudtaget. Där hade jag ju velat haft nycklar och kunna jobba med honom. Nu gjorde jag inte det, för att jag hade inte det och han bodde inte hemma hos mig. Så det var inte mitt problem. Typ. Det är ju hemskt att säga. Men där är ändå så att det är många hästar, också kanske i hagen. Om man ska fånga dem i hagen, då ser de en och de drar åt andra hållet. Eller man kommer med grimman och de bara, jag tänker inte gå in idag.
And the first question I ask is, how did you teach the horse to be caught? How did you teach the horse to have the halter on? And if you can't answer me, then obviously the horse is not taught. So if he's not taught, we shouldn't be surprised that it probably doesn't work. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
Man kan ju ha köpt dem så, man har ingen aning om.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So this is, you know, this is always, you know, in the beginning it's really hard, because like I said before, is that it's the thinking that's the difficult bit.
Yeah.
So the thinking.
Sen hästarna är ju olika. Vissa hästar är jättenyfikna i naturen och andra är lite mer avvaktande liksom.
Yeah. But what we got to have is that obviously it's the same thing that we need to have like a baseline.
Yeah.
And then obviously then we go on the personality of the horse, obviously the confirmation of the horse, because that makes a big difference as well, especially in the movements and whatever you're going to do, and sometimes in the mentality, and then the breed. Does that make sense? So, I mean, I could be here for a week and talk about the whole philosophy and the whole thing, you know what I mean? So, you know, in the beginning, I just try to get people that if you go to your horse and you get out the car and your brain turns on, and you go, what am I going to do today? How am I going to do it? What's my cue going to be? And which system am I going to use? What are my basic rules when I'm with the horse in this relationship? Then I've already started the process. Does that make sense? Because obviously in the beginning, it's really hard work because
man kan inte gå dit och bara så här, jag får se vad som händer.
Well,
jag går dit med morot och hoppas att han vill komma idag. Typ.
Well, then you get that result. And sometimes you get lucky, you know. I mean, I've had horses that have traveled 50, 60 times and then panicked. And people go, oh, why did he panic? I said, well, how did you train him? Well, what do you mean? I just put him in and we've been driving him. Yeah, but how do you train him? I don't really understand. Well, okay, when you drive him, you know, does he move around? No, red flag. Because horses that are like this don't move.
No.
I'd much rather hear the horse moving in the back because I now know he can move. Then also, then what happens is that when you get there, a lot of horses don't eat in the transport.
No.
So that's another big red flag. No. Or all the hay is on the floor where he takes it, spits it out, takes it, because it becomes like a thing.
No.
So if you think about it, horses that think they're going to die, they're not really hungry.
No. Nej, så är det, om de är spända och nervösa, då är ju boxen också. Då springer de oftast bara runt.
So they're all like a little red flag. So then basically, you know, the deal is, if you think about it logically, is that, you know, that lady, she got lucky 49 times. And then I go to the next horse that they bought this new young horse, and they put it in their trailer, and they only went 4 meters. And it absolutely freaked, and it kicked and kicked and kicked until the back of the ramp broke, and then broke the metal bar coming out. So there was no difference.
No.
Just she didn't get lucky 49 times.
Exactly.
This one did, yeah.
Klurigt alltså.
Jag känner bara, tänker på att lätt att hämta i hagen och lätt att lasta.
Oh.
Det är så högt upp på min prylista när jag köper häst. Det är alltså jätteviktigt. Orkar inte.
Det känns ändå också eller härligt att du säger att det inte är att det går att lära dem.
Ja.
Det tycker jag också känns härligt, för att alla hästar är inte lätta att lasta eller lätta att fånga hagen, men de kanske är perfekta på alla andra sätt. Och då är det också härligt att det går att jobba med dem, att det inte är liksom.
Absolut.
Vad ska vi göra med dem då?
Yeah.
Ska vi ställa ut dem? Det går ju inte.
No, I mean to be honest, the cool thing, the reason why we domesticated the horse is because he is so trainable.
Ja.
And we can do so many crazy things. And when I say we, I mean me included, because I've done some, you know, through learning and mistakes and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've made all the mistakes that everybody's made, you know. So, and I've done things that I didn't know, because what you don't know, you don't know.
No.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, it's, you know, the great thing with a horse is that all we have to do is, you know, try this much and he will give us this much. Yeah. I've had horses that have done so many extreme things, and with, you know, 10, 15 lessons, maybe 30 hours of training, they're completely different. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the horses that kick the back of the ramp off and all, you know, do these extreme things in the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, after maybe 15, 16 hours of training.
Men tycker du inte ändå att vanliga normala hästägare har blivit bättre hästmänniskor de senaste 30 år, alltså att vi blir bättre på att titta på hästar? Vi pratar mycket om det här, att horsemanship mentaliteten ändå har kommit in i att vara mer från det militära då här i Sverige, att vara så här ganska hårt och hårda bestraffningar kanske, eller hårdare liksom, hårdare tag förut, tycker jag.
Do you mind if I have some water?
Nej, absolut. Nej.
Yeah. So I need some water before I answer this one.
Det är på den där.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Good job. I'll wait a second. That's cool. Oh my goodness. That'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? All over me. Story of my life, that is.
This is like training a horse, you know?
Yeah. You have to think. Yeah, there you go. Cool.
That's
cool. To be honest, it's like, you know, I started to sort of start in this way of thinking like 30 years ago. Mm. And basically, people used to ring me up and I used to go and try to figure out how am I going to get these horses into the trailer. And quite a lot of them, like half-bloods. And like the half-blood 30 years ago and the half-blood today.
Well, half-blood.
Half-blood, Swedish.
Half-blood.
Yeah. Half-blood.
Half-blood,
yeah. So the half-blood is a completely different animal. Because you've probably been reading all the latest thing now, you know, and the people go, there's no normal horses. They're all competition horses, the same as ponies. I go to so many ponies from Ireland. I go to so many ponies from Holland, you know, and they're all like mini thoroughbreds, but with the mentality of a pony or the mentality of a half-blood, you know. So like 30 years ago, most of the half-bloods, you 165 to 180 all day long, you know, they had this much fear, and then they have this much... Because that's what they're bred for. They're bred for the cavalry. They're bred to work hard every day and work on the farm.
Nu är det mycket mer blod och nervositet. Alltså de känns så mycket mer. Yeah.
So, to be honest, it's to whatever level. I mean, I go and help people on very high level. And they have the same problem as somebody that's trying to walk the horse out in the woods. And
Det är samma sak, bara vid olika.
Yeah.
Det är någon som vill hoppa över vatten. Det är någon som vill gå in från hagen.
Ja. Är det inte, för det jag menade var att det känns som att ändå folk, vanlisar som har häst, behandlar sina hästar på ett annat sätt, på ett mer respektfullt sätt och ett mer förstående. Man försöker förstå och anpassa sig efter hästens lynne på ett annat sätt än hur det var förut. Upplever jag det som i alla fall.
I think it's really hard to say, because if you look back like maybe 120 years ago.
Then, jag var inte född då.
No, I was just about. But you know, if we went back 120 years time with them old horse people, and you know, your sort of life depending on your horse and your family, and then you have a different, you know, and you had to work with a horse 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and you know, you have a different thing, and then with, you know, obviously then all the technology came in and the revolution of steam and blah, 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 and the cars. And yeah, then horses started to become a little bit more like a hobby. You know what I mean?
Hästarna är ändå inte livsviktiga på det sättet idag som de var förut. Då var de ju ett redskap också.
And then people, are, like you said before, they're so stressed and everybody has a million things to do. And I've been to so many people, you know, that they went to buy a horse and they wanted a 10-12 year old schoolmaster, and they come back with a 2 year old stallion, and you know, and they got 3 children, full time job, 2 dogs, 4 cats. You know what I mean? And then they, you know, they're trying to ride this horse in, and it's half killed them. And you know what I mean? It's like she needed like a horse that you could ride one day, and if you didn't ride it for a week, it didn't matter. And then when she did ride it, she could just go out in the woods and have a fantastic time. And come back. Do you understand? So a lot of people buy the wrong horse because they do it on emotion. I always say to people, when you buy a horse, write down. You know what I mean?
What
the drop dead things are for you. You know, the age, the sex, blah blah blah. How much education? What is drop dead for you? So you don't, you know, because it's but I looked in his eyes and he looked at me and we spoke, and you know what I mean. And that's great if you got all the facilities in the world, all the time in the world, you know, and you have enough knowledge and blah blah blah. All people around you can help, and but you know, I've met so many people who got hurt so bad.
Men sen tror jag vi känner ju alla någon som har köpt en häst för känslor istället för vad den faktiskt ska.
Det var inte vad jag sökte, men nu blev
exakt.
Det.
It's absolutely nothing wrong with that if somebody of a criteria.
Exakt, om man kan ta på något annat då.
Yeah, you know, I've been to so many people, and then, I mean, they, you know, and it's, Yeah, when I went to try him, he was ever so nice, but now he's like a different horse when I brought him home and blah, blah, blah. And they said he was easy to load and he's freaking out and they can't load him. And, you know, and
that sounds classist.
Yeah. And then it's really difficult because, you know, then the people ring up and, oh, never had a problem. And you know what I mean? So I always say to people, you know, that when I work a horse, I believe 100% everything he tells me. When the people tell me the story, I take about 10%, because the rest is either, it's not that people lie, but people either exaggerate what they think.
Och de kanske älskar den där hästen och i dens ögon så skulle han aldrig bitas eller sparka eller.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's the great thing is, you know, with a horse, he never lies because he has no agenda, he has no ego. You know what I mean? He knows what he knows. I go to so many horses and I can tell him exactly what he does in different situations, because as soon as I go through my little checklist, he tells me what he does.
Har du egna hästar?
Not at the moment. No, because I basically just travel. I travel around every day of the week.
Jag försöker rädda alla andra människor som köper knasiga hästar.
Det vanligaste misstaget folk gör då?
Sorry?
Vad är det vanligaste misstaget folk gör med sina hästar?
Don't think. Basically, they put themselves in a situation that they haven't prepared for, and they find out really quick, because it becomes really dangerous, and when they lose control. So I go to a lot of people that have lost the confidence. We can call it scared or confidence or whatever, but you know, when you've had a horse that's self-destructed and you've had some, you know, bad experiences. So, you know, part of my job as well really is, you know, I have to be a little bit of a shrink to the people, you know, because I go to my own shrink just to be able to be a shrink for yeah. But you know what I mean? I usually get there, and what happens, I get an email and it's usually this long. And it starts off with, oh, John, I got this horse and he's ever so nice, but. And then he gets, you know, broke my left leg, my right leg, blah, 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 blah. But he's really nice. He doesn't mean it. And blah, 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 blah. And then he broke my left leg and blah, blah, blah. And then it's blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So that usually, you know, happens. And, you know, I was with a lady the other week and you know, I worked the horse a little bit and I stopped. And then she said to me, is my horse normal? And I said to her, normal for me. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you've tried everything that you know. And she goes, yep. And then your friends have tried everything that they know. And she's gone, yep. And then your trainers have tried everything that they know. And it still doesn't work. And they go, yep. And then you go down the horse shop and you buy all the gadgets and the licks and the chews and the, you know, chill down powder and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying that's bad. No. When you use it in the right context. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that didn't work either. And they go, no. And I go, well, that's normal for me.
Yeah.
Because if it had half worked when you tried, you wouldn't have sent me the email. If it half worked when your friend tried, you wouldn't have sent me the email. If it would have half worked, it wouldn't even work good, but if it would have half worked, and so on and so on. So,
kul för dig, det är för allt skit.
Yeah, so
Anna har jobbat så mycket dåligt med den här hästen.
Well, you know, what can I say? You know, that's sort of what I'm known for, you know what I mean? Hopefully now I do a lot more sort of riding stuff with the dressage people and stuff now, which is really fun for me, not to you know, with the extreme horses all the time. And like I said, extreme doesn't mean bad, they just they've gone down the road a wee bit, you know what I mean? It's not like they're just
det är inte bara att idag var min sugna.
It isn't like they just go, I don't wanna.
Nej.
Okay then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a, you know, it's a life and death sometimes, you know. So you know usually the first 10 minutes I really concentrate, because that's the most dangerous time for me. And like I say, I know the horse doesn't mean
if it hurts me. Har du känt dig rädd någon gång?
I have respect.
Men du har aldrig känt dig rädd att bara säga, nej, det här gör jag inte, jag går härifrån, den här hästen rör jag inte.
I've been very close sometimes.
Okay.
But I'm a little bit of a, how can I say, yeah, I just, I'm a fanatic.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had one horse go to attack me and he just caught me down, just scraped with the front leg here.
From the pommel.
Yeah. Yeah. I was having a course actually. And he was over there 1 second and the next second he was, douche, I didn't even see him coming.
Han kommer i ridhuset farandes mot dig och slår mig framåt.
Yeah, when I was working him on the rope and I was pushing him in that direction. And next second he was like this.
Okay.
So I was having a clinic, so I asked Lena, my wife, to go into the fika room and go into the freezer and get something cold. And I slapped it on my head. It was a piece of frozen meat actually, and I slapped it on my head and bandaged up, and then I just carried on training the horse, you know what I mean?
Fast surrad köttbit i
ansiktet. And then the guy did super after that, you know what I mean? I mean he was absolutely, he come around the next day, he was absolutely super.
Varför
super.
Tror du att han gjorde sådär då?
Because he was afraid. Yeah. And then also, you know, a lot of the time is that the horse learns to come forward at whatever the pressure is. So that's why, you know, you see a lot of horses that we think they're being curious, but they're more dominant scared. So, you know, when you walk into a ride house or a new place and your horse marches over to something and starts to bite it,
yeah,
and we go, oh, that's really good because he's curious, that's most of the time that's fear dominance.
Okay.
So I always say to people, whatever you do, do not let your horse do that, because then he will do the same thing on you.
Det är inte kul.
Yeah.
Nej, tack.
If he comes and he's... So most of the dogs that bite people are the same.
Okay.
Because a secure dog meets you like this. An insecure, frightened dog, they're the ones that bite you because they're... As soon as you put your hand out... Yeah.
Jobbar du med hundar också?
A little bit, but it's not my it's not my specialty. I'm very interested in it, and I watch a lot of the guys, and I read the books, and I really like all the psychology bit, you know. And I read all the science with the horses, you know, this Andrew McLean and all the latest studies they do, and because I think
det är ändå lite samma typ av hur ni arbetar.
Yeah, it's the same thinking. Yeah, you know what I mean. It's the same. So, and it's sort of, knowledge is good, then if you put it in action. So it's like, you know, I can have as much knowledge as I want, but if I don't put it into action, then it's worthless. That's why a lot of people, they have a lot of knowledge about a lot of stuff, but if they never do it, you don't take it to the next level.
Yeah.
So, you know, I read quite a lot of different books, and I watched quite a few guys, Australian guys, in America, because I like their way, their mentality, and the way that they, you know, because we've got to have a little bit of, like, you know, I love my horse, but he's got to have a little respect, and I've got to have a little respect for him, and we've got to be safe. And then I understand sometimes it's going to be hard work for my horse, but we've got to do it. And sometimes I don't want to do stuff, but I got to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But so I have the contract with a horse. I say to him, hey, I promise you that I will try to come every day and control my emotions.
Oh.
I promise you every day we will have the same rules. I promise you every day I will have the same cue. So basically, you know, my cues are my language.
Yeah.
You know, I promise you I will ask you exactly the same way. I promise you I will always ask you on the lightest amount of pressure. That's my job. His job is, I promise to try and listen for you, John. Does that make sense? And then we find the middle. You understand what I mean? Because, you know, we can go around and go, oh, you know, my horse chooses. But at the end of the day, when you go in the paddock and you put the holder on him, you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, I want it, you know, let's go in the trailer, and my horse doesn't. People don't go, oh, well, it doesn't matter.
No.
You understand what I mean? Understand? Yeah. And, you know, and it could be the same thing there, you know. Unfortunately, you know, it's like with the negative and positive trainers, you know, a lot of them that I read and see, you know, they're like against each other. Instead of going, let's just see what is best for the animal. Because for me to teach myself how to use negative reinforcement And for me to teach myself how to use positive reinforcement takes a lot of effort and time on me. But I do it because the most important thing for me is try to help the horse individual in front of me. So to be honest, and I always say this to people, you know, if I had to go naked and paint myself blue and run around to get that horse to understand what I want, that's what I would do. I don't care. You understand what I mean? The most important for me, I would like the horse to understand and to be as safe as possible, as quick as possible, and bring him to the point that there's very little that rocks his world in the end. And we can do a lot of cool stuff. So I get what I want, he gets what he wants. Because basically, if I'm going to be with him, I don't want to be nagging him all day. Oh, don't do that, don't do that. Oh, he dragged me to the grass. Oh, he stopped on my toe. Oh, don't do that. Oh, he bit me. Oh, he pushed me. Oh, stand still, stand still. Oh, I'm going to get on you. Oh, you put the bridle on. Oh, he's all over the place. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? He's like, and then I finally get on him and I'm like, oh, and then he goes, oh, I don't want to go. And he starts rearing up and running backwards. And yeah, you know what I mean? And so I'm just like the horse. I want to do as little as possible. And be as safe as possible. And my horse wants me to put as little pressure on possible. And he wants to be as comfortable as possible.
Det låter ju liksom glasklart. Låter så enkelt också.
Det låter så himla enkelt. Det är jättespännande att höra. Tack snälla för att vi fick en pratstund med dig.
No, absolutely. I could talk all day, but maybe.
Vi får ses igen. Vi får ses igen. Vad är det, Vallentuna? Vi kommer.
Yeah, you guys could come and have a look. Because it's really hard to see when you don't see it in real life.
Nej.
You know what I mean? Because then it's like...
Vi kan ta med oss en häst eller två. Vi kan öva öronen. Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you could come up to Leidningen Ness. We got up there. It's a nice ride house up there. And So, come up and we could have a go through them.
Verkligen.
A little bit, yeah.
Det vore jättekul.
Yeah, because it's really hard to describe, you know what I mean? So, your homework, and I say this to everybody, your homework is to write down what are my rules and what are my goals. And how would I like my relationship to be? So, out of 10 people, when I ask them to do this the first time, how many people do you think do it?
Två.
Yeah. You know what the statistics are, yeah.
Nej, jag gissade bara.
Yeah. So basically, this is a deal that the psychologists say when you write it down, you'll already increase your chance of being successful by something crazy like 80%.
Så, vilka är mina regler?
Yeah.
Vad är mina mål?
Yeah.
Och
hur ska relationen se ut?
Yeah, how would I, yeah. Because it's every horse I go to, it doesn't matter how they are, I always have this picture in my head and this feeling. Does that make sense? Because horses are very sensitive to your energy.
Ja, de kan ju känna hjärtslag.
Yeah.
På,
horses are very sensitive to your heartbeat. Yeah. Horses have a really good smell. So when people lose their temper, that's why they become even more afraid, because we release a lot of chemicals.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing there. I do a lot of breathing exercises to put myself in the place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I always ask this question to people, you know, like, I had this clinic a few years ago, and I had these four or five ladies there, and they're all absolutely lost their confidence with the horses. And I'm sat there and I asked a question that you shouldn't ask. And I go, hey, you know, why do you guys have horses? And they're all like, well, you know, to ride out in the nature. I said, yeah, but you can't ride out in the nature. So then in the end, you know, the question is really is that, does my horse make me a better human or a worse human? So, is my horse teaching me patience? Is my horse teaching me to have more control over my emotions? Is my horse teaching me to be more aware of my breathing? Is my horse teaching me how to handle my energy? Because we have an energy field around us. Is my horse teaching me how to be more aware on my body? Have more balance? Be more consistent? Be able to think in a hard situation. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or is he teaching to be afraid, lose my confidence, get very short-tempered, because that's what happens when you become scared.
Yeah.
You know, it's the old saying, you know, where knowledge ends, frustration begins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is he teaching me that? You know, is he teaching me to give up, be frustrated, be angry, blah, blah? Because if we just ask simple questions, it's like, well, I don't want to go down that road. So let's look for a different Bergen. Road. Yeah, you know what I mean? And that's really what it's all about, you know. Because, you know, in the bottom, we all want the same thing. We all want our horses to be safe and happy and as less stress as possible, and that we can do cool stuff and have a nice time.
Oh, verkligen.
That's the bottom.
Cool stuff and have a nice time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Precis
det andra.
Yeah,
your slogan.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
But you got to have a rough idea, because if not, what happens is most people are just reacting to the horse reacting, so the horse becomes all emotional, stops to think. The human becomes emotional because the horse is emotional. We stop to think. So then we have two lunatics trying to work out this situation, and not one of us is doing any thinking, because it's not natural for the horse to go, hang on a second, give me 5 minutes and let me think this problem, because he wouldn't have survived since the dinosaur times. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is why the idea is the basic, you know what I mean? So I hope I haven't bored you too much.
Nej,
superintressant.
Tack snälla du.
No, thank you very much. And we have to get together one day, guys.
Ja, gärna.
Yeah, for sure.
Gärna.
Ja. Tack.
Thank you very much.
Ja.